Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious, merciful Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, that we have come to the night message for today to consider one more time what it means to be a people that are strong in thee and a people that are of good courage. And we ask, Father, that as we look into the scriptures, that thou, O Lord, would open our eyes to the truth and grant, O Lord, thy children humble hearts that will be ready to receive thy word, ready also, O Lord, to obey thy commandments. And we know, O Lord, that great blessing belongs to the one who will put his whole heart in full trust in the precious words of Holy Scripture. So lead and guide us, O Lord, in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. The Lord will find it pleasing in this life to subject us to several tests that will show us clearly whether or not we are a people who are strong and of a good courage. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord explains why such tests are given. It's not that the Lord needs this test to know what exactly is in our heart, but the Lord would subject us to this test so that we ourselves will know what is the state of our hearts. It is for our benefit. It is for our good. And it's also an opportunity and a privilege for us that while we go through this test, that we exercise our faith in the Lord. And through it, we will learn the precious lessons of the goodness of our Lord. We will learn the precious lessons that strength and courage comes from God. It is not self-generated. It is divinely provided. In fact, the song that we have sung just now tells us very clearly, or sums up very clearly, the reason for this test. Now, if you turn back to Psalm 333, right, this was chosen by Dylan just now, right, for us to sing before the message, right, 333. Right, 333, and you look at stanza 2. If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be and where the fight? Now comes the words, right, which is important for us to consider here, right, in this hymn, it is rightly stated. But in the testings, God gives to you chances for proving what he can do, right? Capital H, not small h, right? What he, what God can do. An opportunity for you instead to see for yourself how mighty God is, how loving God is, how wise God is, and how caring he is. And that is why right here in Joshua chapter 5, we see the children of Israel being subjected to tests once they cross the River Jordan. And they cross from the Transjordan side to the Cisjordan side. In fact, even over at the Transjordan side, right, before they crossed the River Jordan, they were subjected to one test. Is a test from the Lord, whether or not they will exercise their faith in him. Right, they were commanded to cross the River Jordan, and the Lord, right, gave them instructions to be found in a special formation, and just as the feet of the priest would touch the brink of the River Jordan, well, the River Jordan would part. Now, this is a new generation. The previous generation, they had the miracle of the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. now this generation will get to witness the miracle of the parting of the River Jordan. But first, they would have to put their trust in the Lord. They would have to set themselves in formation and trust that, well, once the priest's feet would touch the brink of the River Jordan, it will part. And indeed, the waters of the Jordan did part. And this miracle, of course, would remind them of what their fathers earlier had experienced. In fact, some of this that would cross the River Jordan would not have even seen that miracle. Remember, that miracle took place how long ago? Right, 40 years ago. The majority of them who were present right here, therefore, would not have seen that miracle. Why? Right, because all those who were of Joshua and Caleb's generation, in other words, all those who were 20 years and above, bar Joshua and Caleb, right, the Lord would say that they will not get the privilege of entering the promised land, right, due to their dissension, when the Lord had earlier called them to enter the promised land to conquer it, but they refused. And so they were not allowed to enter the promised land. And so, right, those that would have witnessed the miracle, well, would have been 20 years and below at that point of rebellion. And by now, right, you were at 38 years, right, because that event occurred 2 years in the wilderness wandering, or you can say maybe 1.5 years, right, then you just add the age, well, you will know how old they are. And then the rest, they were not even born when this miracle was done. And some, even though they were born when the miracle was done, they perhaps were only babies. And you know, when you are babies, you are infants. How will you remember? Just in the arms of daddy and mommy, and then you cross. So this miracle was important, right, to remind the children of Israel. Well, just like how I was with your fathers in the wanderings in the wilderness, so will I be with thee. I parted the rivers of Jordan so that they may be delivered from Egypt. Now I part the waters of Jordan so that you may conquer the land. So with this lesson that they were taught after their first test of faith, now will come another three tests of faith right here. But above it all, before we even look at these three tests, it is important for us to understand this one truth, and that is the truth of God's sovereignty. And that you will find in verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was there spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. And so what we see right here is this, that the Lord used the miracle of the drying of the River Jordan to melt the hearts of the people of the land. Now, actually, the hearts of the people of the land were already melted. If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 4, verse 23, for example. Sorry, not Joshua chapter 4, verse 23. Joshua chapter 2 and yes, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. These will be the words of Rahab the harlot, and what would she tell, right, the two spies, right? And she would tell them, right, this testimony. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, right? So we have heard of the miracle 40 years ago, right? The effect of the miracle still continue today, right, in our hearts. And then we also heard of what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og. Well, we heard how you destroyed the giants. You utterly destroyed them. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Right? So they had a testimony from Rahab. How the people of the land already had, ironically, no courage in them. Then, now, you have the testimony of the scriptures right here, that after the drying of the River Jordan, all the more, there was no longer any more spirit in the hearts of the men of the nations across the Jordan. But will the children of Israel know this? Well, they had the earlier testimony of Rahab, but what exactly was in the hearts of the people of the lands? Well, surely the children of Israel did not know fully. But while they may not know what was exactly in the hearts of the people of the lands, who was in control? God was in control. And as you will see in the later test, every test that you see that will be described later on involves whether or not the children of Israel would trust in the Lord to protect them, to grant them safety. For in the eyes of the world, especially with regards to the first two tests, it would have subjected them to grave danger. Why, for example, do you circumcise yourself right now? When you are in enemy territory, why, of all times, do you choose to celebrate, to worship the Lord during the Passover while you are in enemy territory? Well, if you were across the Jordan, there would be a natural geographical barrier, so that this River Jordan would be your protection. But now you have crossed over the Jordan, there is nothing to defend you anymore. If you were to circumcise yourselves, or if you were to engage in the worship of the Lord, what is your defense? Well, in the eyes of the world, there will be none. But the children of Israel must trust that the Lord is their defense. The Lord is their provider. The Lord is their guardian. And you know, these few tests are actually very important before the children of Israel actually begin their conquest of the land. Because if they could not pass these tests, what does that mean? Well, that would mean that they were not ready even to conquer the land. It's just like some of you right here, you learn driving, right? How many of you here are currently now learning driving? Yeah, Dylan's learning driving, some of you, and soon you all will be subjected to a driving test, right? If you cannot pass your driving test, are you ready for the roads? I think better keep you off the roads, because very soon you are going to get into an accident. Even those who have just passed their driving test, even for the first few weeks or months, oftentimes, some of your parents will be cautious to let you drive. They will sit beside you, right, to make sure that you gain sufficient experience before they will let you alone in driving. You may think that you're very experienced, you can drive, but your parents say, no, better not, I better sit beside you. What more if you fail that test? You are definitely not ready for the roads. I remember one of the things in the driving test that would immediately disqualify a person from driving on the roads. Now, the tester may bring you to a junction, and actually, at that junction, it says, I can't remember, no left turn or no right turn. There will be a sign there in front. But the tester will tell you, turn right, when it says no right turn. And then if you turn right, what happens? Immediate failure. Anyway, your instructor will teach you these things in the circuit. And why so? Because in real life, you may sit beside a passenger. Or, for example, you may even have the GPS, because nowadays you use GPS, right? Even from navigate from place to place, walking, you also use GPS. So the GPS says, turn right. But if the signs there says, no turn right, or no U-turn, and then it says U-turn, and then you U-turn or you turn right, you can very well get into an accident, and that's it for you. That's why it's immediate failure. If the tester tells you turn right, but the sign says no turning right, you're not paying attention to the traffic sign, and you could have very well killed yourself on the road. You're not ready. And that's why these tests were given for the children of Israel. For the purpose of what? In this case, to let them know that they are ready. With regards to their fathers, when they were subjected to earlier tests, all these tests were to tell them what? Actually, you're still not ready. Well, you may be out in the wilderness wandering here and there, but you're still not ready to conquer the promised land. In fact, when you're asked to conquer the promised land, you did not even exercise your faith in me. And this shows what? Actually, the immaturity of your heart. But this test now will show that the children of Israel were ready. And sometimes in life, that is the case for us. Now, you will be subjected to various tests in your life, and each test is to teach you a precious lesson. Each test is to show you exactly the state of your heart, and whether or not you are ready for the next stage of the spiritual battle. But above it all, you must know that God is in control. Actually, God has already quell the hearts of the people of the land. The children of Israel may not be fully aware of this, but God has already provided their defense. God has already provided their victory. All that they needed to do was to trust in the Lord. And that is what you all must also be aware. In the midst of this test, never forget the sovereignty of the Lord. That God is in control, that He's still on the throne. Actually, victory is already in Him. If you trust in Him for that victory, victory is yours. That's the way to pass the test. And that is the means of your strength, that is the means of your courage. So what then are the three tests that we see right here? Well, the first test will be the test of obedience. Right? You look at verses 2 to 9. And the test of obedience will be, in this case, whether or not they would obey the rite of circumcision. Right? At the time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So the Lord expressly commanded Joshua, look, before you proceed, all the children of Israel must be circumcised. And so therefore the children of Israel had the choice whether or not to obey the direct command of the Lord right here. Firstly, Joshua must obey by speaking to the children of Israel exactly what God had commanded. And secondly, the children of Israel must listen to Joshua and make sure that their children were circumcised. Now, what is the issue with this? Well, if one were to view things based upon frail human wisdom, they would think, well, if we were to circumcise our children and also themselves, actually, they need to be circumcised, by the way. Right here is actually the children of Israel themselves who needed to be circumcised. We circumcise our children, we ourselves are circumcised, right? So here refers to even the fighting men, they had to circumcise themselves. And the reason why they had to circumcise themselves was this, right? Their fathers, they were circumcised, right? While they were in the wilderness, but their fathers did not circumcise their children. That means they themselves were not circumcised. Right? For some reasons, they were not circumcised. And so now, before they enter the promised land, the Lord commanded them to be circumcised. Now, the Lord is very serious about this, because if you know the account in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses did not circumcise his child, the Lord actually went after him. And the child had to be circumcised. And the lesson to Moses was this: if you do not begin even the ministry on a clean slate, not begin with obedience, how will you be able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? The ministry must be conducted in all purity. And what was true for Moses will be true for the people right here. Now you can only begin the conquest of the lands if you truly are clean, and therefore you better obey the Lord with regards to circumcision. And circumcision would also have a particular significance, because when you talk about circumcision, it actually refers to the circumcision of the heart. It actually is a sign to point what should be the reality in a person's life. Right? That the heart is one which is humble before the Lord, submissive before the Lord. And if therefore you refuse to circumcise even the foreskin, what does it mean? Your foreskin of your heart is actually what? It's actually still hardened, right? It's actually still there. It's not softened, right? So yes, this is very important. If you refuse to even obey the Lord, it means that you did not take the covenant of God seriously also, because this circumcision was supposed to be a sign of the covenant. Right, so there are a lot of implications, right, if you refuse to circumcise. But one may reason, if I circumcise right now, what it means is this: because once a person is circumcised, there will be a period whereby they have to rest, because there may be some form of infection, there will be a general weakness, right, after this act of circumcision was done. And while the fighting men are weak, well, that would be the best time to attack Israel, isn't it? All the men will be circumcised at the same time. Every fighting man will be weak. So in the eyes of the world, this is actually the most foolish time to circumcise. Why don't you circumcise after some or most of the people of the land has been conquered? Why now? Or perhaps a juvenile mind may say, well, Lord, why did you not order us to be circumcised before we crossed the River Jordan? Before that, there was this natural barrier. Why can't we circumcise first over there and then after that, then cross over? Why now? Praise be to the Lord. Joshua did not question the Lord. Neither did the children of Israel question Joshua or question the Lord. Now, this is going to be a recurring theme in the book of Joshua, because tomorrow, God willing, we are going to see the account of success of the children of Israel in terms of what? Being strong and of a good courage. There will be a good end of it. That's why it's called a good courage, right? Good courage results in a good end, right? So there will be success. How is this success achieved? You will realize that some of these things, if you view in the eyes of the world, it totally does not make sense. And yet, they trusted in the Lord. And that's why there was success. Now, if the children of Israel at this point of time cannot even trust in the Lord with regards to circumcision, can't even subject themselves to obeying the Lord in this point, to subject themselves to the lesson of the necessity of having a soft heart before the Lord, they are not ready for the conquest of the land. Similarly, you will realize that in your life, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that there will be times whereby seeking to obey the Lord may make little sense in the eyes of the world, and because it makes little sense in the eyes of the world, sometimes you will struggle. Because people will come and tell you, it makes little sense. Now you know that the important thing for you to be successful as a Christian student right now is the Word of God. Yes, textbooks are necessary. Of course, you cannot say that you can be a successful student without studying. Right? Please don't go about after this camp and say, oh, all I need to do is meditate on God's Word day and night. And then after that, obey God's Word day and night. And then you abuse the teaching of obeying, right, to mean that you do not need to do your homework, you do not need to read your textbook and all these things. By the way, that's actually disobedience, because God's will for you is to study your textbook well, right, according to the grace that in which He has granted you. But you say, well, I don't need, all I need is the Bible. So don't need to study, just study Bible. And that's the wrong kind of study of the Bible, by the way. So you don't need the Bible, don't need a textbook. Don't need to do your projects well. And then after that, oh, I can be successful as a student in polytechnic or in university. You are only deceiving yourself. Don't abuse the scripture that way. It should actually lead you, the study of the scripture should actually lead you to be an even more diligent student. Not the reverse. But you know that above it all, you need the Word of God. I just want to share a testimony of the Nanyang Poly, Temasek Poly group. Now, I'm sharing this not to puff their ego. I hope they will remain that way. Neither is it to glorify any man. Right? Sharing this testimony, speaking like a fool, but for the glory of God. One thing I noticed of this group is that, you know, whenever they had exams, they still have Bible studies. And that is true. I remember that when I was a student in NUS, FCI NUS, during our times when there was exams, there were no Bible studies. True? You want another witness? Okay, where is my wife? Is that true? She's the second witness. Come on, say the truth. You cannot remember. Oh, no, there wasn't. Okay, there wasn't. Otherwise, y'all can ask some of those of our generation FCM. In Pandan, you can ask us. Xiao Wei, those in Gethsemane, can ask Hui Ling. Yeah, they're actually all around. Normally exams, maybe 1 or 2 weeks before the exam, or during the exam period, we did not have any FCM. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, we spend our time and effort to study. So I was surprised in several generations of the Nanyang Poly and TPFCM. Actually, as a Bible study teacher, I was ready to say, I think that there will be no Bible study during this time. But they will drop me a message. Reverend Chiu, can we have Bible study this week? I think that is very, very good. Why? Because it shows a dedication to understand that the Word of God must come first. You know, in the eyes of the world, they may say it's very silly. Why are you having Bible study when this is a time of exam? Surely you must spend all your effort studying the textbook, right? Of all the times, this is time where you must be 100% concentration on your notes, on your textbooks. Why are you having Bible study at this time? But if you understand the true definition of success, like what we have gone through already in this camp, success means what? In the end, you perform, you do the will of the Lord. You uphold the testimony of Christ. That is actually the means of success. Some Christians, they forsake the Lord's Day when it comes to the time of their exam. Suddenly, when the exam period comes, they are absent from church. Oh, sometimes even the parents take them off from coming to church. And they say, well, the Lord knows, lah, this time is exam. Some may be present during in church because they know everybody is looking at them, but they have already failed the test because their heart is far, far away. It's focused on the paper. Their heart is not focused in worshiping the Lord. These are tests. And if you cannot even begin in obedience with a clean heart before the Lord in these things, by the time it comes when you are out in the workforce, you will fail. Because the test will be far more severe. If you do not understand these truths right now as a young person, the chances are when you get married and then you start to have children, you will teach your children that on the Lord's Day, you should study and not honor the Lord. I do not know whether any parents will be listening to this message. But there is a trend now in the BP church. Now on the Lord's Day, parents are sending their children for tuition and all kinds of classes. We must repent from this. How dare we as parents teach our children to break the Sabbath day? No wonder the church is weak. Swimming classes, dancing classes, all kinds of classes, but especially tuition. But then the world will look at us and say, hey, Sunday is the best day, right? The freest day besides Saturday. Why aren't the children going for all these lessons? Hey, why must you spend Saturday having fellowship group meetings, go for tuition? So silly. That is the test, dear friends. And now, as FCMers, being of some age, you must also learn this truth of your own volition, willing before the Lord that I will honor the Lord in this way. I will put him first. And not just that, with regards to everything in my studies, I must seek to be clean. I must seek to be obedient to God. I must be honest. I must not cut corners. I must not lie. I must not cheat. If AI should not be used, I will not use AI. Sometimes I know the banning of AI is quite ridiculous. The universities are yet to catch up with this. You know, sometimes I don't understand why they ban AI for certain things. To be honest, regards to bibliography, I know there was a case whereby the bibliography, the person was taken to task by one of the universities because the use AI for the bibliography. Now, of course, the person was proven not to be honest in the sense that certain of the citations were just rubbish, right? And she has not even taken her part to go through these citations. I believe that she has not even really interacted with those books at all. So that is another matter altogether. But why in this current situation when, you know, we already know that AI very soon will take over all the data processing duties. They are far better than humans when it comes to this. Why can't it be used for bibliography? That is something I don't understand. But anyway, that's what the university say. Obey, subject yourself to it. It's a test from the Lord. I mean, it's not a sin not to use AI for bibliography, right? I mean, my time, there's no such thing as AI, right? We all pay, when it comes to FEBC academic papers, you know, you'll be surprised that a significant proportion of time, yes, go for your prayer meeting, please. At Truth, BP Church, FCMS, please go for a prayer meeting. Now there's some space forward, so those who are willing can come forward to sit. Be a good boy, Harris, come forward. You can sit on the second row, the one I think nobody sat just now, you can sit there. Now, these are the things that are so, so important in life. Obedience. Be clean. If the rule says no AI, means no AI. I mean, it's nothing against God's word not to use AI, right? So you just obey. You just follow. But now in the world, sometimes people try to hide their disobedience. Say, well, don't know, when we obey, we must obey with reason. So when people ask you to do something, it's not outside of God's word. Well, start to ask, why? Why must I obey? Why? Very simple. God has placed this person above you in authority. You obey. As long as what is being asked of you is not against God's word, it's God's test for you. God's test of your heart. And you better make sure you start everything on a clean slate. And it doesn't matter what the world will say, this is silly. It doesn't matter what the world will say, this will affect your studies. And so therefore, in the end, you will end up getting zero, or you fail. You obey the Lord. If you break the Lord's day, or for example, you don't commit yourself fully to the Lord's work, the Lord's word. And in the end, you score A. Even if you score A in the world, it is a failure. It's not a success. Please understand this. You have failed the Lord. I hope more parents will understand this. They are stopping their sons and daughters from attending fellowship groups. Why? Because they think that Saturdays are better spent on tuitions and all these things. Parents, even if your sons and daughters get A's, you have failed your son and daughter. You have failed the Lord. So I am thankful that for all the FCMers here and the parents that have let you all come here, I'm very thankful for all your parents, actually. They are starting to be a rarity in these days. I pray that they will be in a good way. And I hope that this generation of FCM will not forget this lesson. Because very soon, you all will grow up very fast and then you will be married. Have these godly convictions in your heart. So yes, you have this test of obedience. We thank the Lord that the children of Israel, they obeyed. And then the Lord declared for them, because you have obeyed now, this day. Right, look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Right? The name Gilgal simply means roll away. Right? Because you have sought to be clean before me, you have sought to obey me, you have sought to be sanctified before me, to be consecrated unto me. And so therefore I have now made you clean. And now you're ready, right? Now you're ready to serve me. Now we have to go on, right? Verse 10. Take a little bit more time, right, this night. Right, verse 10 to verse 11. Now the children of Israel, they encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Well, it's so interesting that, you know, by the Lord's direction and and wisdom, they reach Gilgal just in time, right, to be able to celebrate the Passover. But in this particular case, what the Lord has actually subjected to them is actually a test of what? First a test of obedience, now is a test of remembrance. Why? Because for all the years in the wilderness, they had not celebrated the Passover except Bawan, right in the beginning. Otherwise, they have not celebrated their Passover. Now that they have arrived on the shores of the Promised Land, will they remember the Lord's command to celebrate the Passover? And especially now, they can celebrate the Passover with circumcision. Now they have been granted the privilege to be able to celebrate the Passover. If you are not circumcised, you are not able to celebrate the Passover. That is the Lord's command, right? Because you have not been made clean. But now that you are clean before the Lord, will you therefore exercise this privilege? Will you therefore avail yourself to the means of grace to worship the Lord? This is a test of remembrance, a test of worship. Will you remember the Lord to worship Him? Will you remember the Lord to thank Him? The Passover brings to remembrance how the Lord would deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Of course, the Passover also points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who will be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But in this case, it is also especially significant to the children of Israel in the sense that it reminds them how the Lord will deliver them out of Egypt. Because after the Passover came the Exodus. Who delivered them out of Egypt? It is God. And we thank the Lord that they make a point to remember Him. They worship Him, they praise Him, they thank Him. You know, sometimes after the Lord has helped us through a particular test, through difficult times, very quickly we forget the Lord. Very quickly we forget that it is Him who has led us through those times. When going through exams, for example, oftentimes the common prayer item will be, well, please ask the Lord to help me through the exams, right? I mean, it's good to hear, right, FCMers say that, you know, during exam time. Otherwise, we'll be really worried. Why are you not asking the Lord to help you through your exams? That is good. You should. And praise the Lord for all of you who ask the Lord for help. But after the Lord has helped you through the exams, and then you receive the result, do you remember to worship the Lord? When the Lord has helped you to secure your job, do you remember to thank the Lord for securing the job? And as you continue on with the job, will you continue to remember Him and to worship Him? You know, this Passover is not only, the importance is not only to give thanks to the Lord in gratitude. Because when you give thanks to the Lord in gratitude, what it also means is that you are also declaring that even in your future endeavors, you will remember that it must be the Lord to help you through all these times of storms and difficulties. If you fail to give thanks to the Lord for helping you previous difficulties, then how will you remember that in the next trial that comes, that it is the Lord who will be your help? This is also a reason why we despair sometimes when people do not turn up on the Lord's Day for worship, when they could actually turn up, or they choose to forsake the Lord's Day worship service for going for some form of entertainment. We're not talking about times where sometimes families may on occasion be on holidays. We hope that when they are in holidays, they still remember the Lord's Day and they keep it holy. That one no man can check. And now it should be easier because now due to COVID, almost every church has what, live streaming. And you don't have live streaming, you still can worship the Lord by tuning in later to the worship service that will be on YouTube or whatever channel in which the church will place the worship service program on. Well, we hope that those on holidays will remember to worship the Lord. But sometimes there are young men and women or even adults who will just go on their holidays and whatever, and then they forsake things like, oh, church camps, important programs in the church. Worse still, the Lord's Day. They just forsake it. They don't make the Lord's Day a priority. They forget how the Lord has helped them through the times when they were younger. Now, FCMers, you are part of a generation that is very, very mobile. And soon after you all graduate, in fact, some of you, even before you all graduate, I know now is the trend that before graduation, you all go for graduation trips, right? Is that a trend? Yes? How many of you are planning graduation trips now? I mean, just go, okay? We're not saying that you shouldn't go for graduation trips. Last time, there's no such thing as graduation trips for us. We can go overseas. We are really very happy. Wow, to see y'all go for graduation trips. Wow, it's really a different generation altogether. But praise the Lord, you are more mobile. But use your mobility responsibly, with responsibility. Go for your graduation trips, and after that, keep on going for all the trips, becoming addicted to all these trips, and then you forget the Lord. Forget to worship Him. Forget to give thanks that what you have in your pocket comes from Him. That's why right now, even as a Christian student, be convicted in your heart that with every single test that the Lord has brought you through, actually the next test has come. Will you remember Him? Will you worship Him? Will you praise Him? Now, in this case, the Lord did not explicitly command them to worship. Do you see that? What the Lord commanded them explicitly was for circumcision. Here, they willingly worship the Lord. But that does not mean that it was not a test from God. But all the more it is significant right here, because though the Lord did not explicitly say right here, directly at that present time, please have the Passover. But because they willingly did it, you know that this generation was a generation that loved the Lord. But now comes the last test, verse 12. Now you realize that during the Passover, what they did eat, the old corn, and then the unleavened cakes and the parched corn, this time round came from where? It came from the land. Off the land. That is the key expression. And then in verse 12, again, we are told, and the manna ceased on the morrow. After they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now, what test is this right here? This is now a test of transition. A test of obedience, a test of remembrance. Now, this is a test of transition. Because you realize that the circumstances for the children of Israel has now changed with regards to the Lord's providence. Now, for 40 years in the wilderness, what the Lord did was to provide manna, to provide food and water for them. Right, straight from heaven. Straight from the water that followed them out of the rock throughout their wilderness wanderings. But now that they are in the promised land, you will realize that because now the land has the things that they need, that the Lord would therefore, in His wisdom, stop providing that manna. And from this point onwards, the children of Israel will have to live off the land. Now, you may be scratching your head. Well, what's so special about that, living off the land? Do we not also at this point of time in our lives live off the land? But do not forget, for 40 years, the children of Israel has been literally spoon-fed by the Lord. Spoon-fed directly, you know, straight to their mouths. The manna come and then, oh, okay, eat. And even then, they still complain. Right? How many of you wish the Lord will spoon feed you in this way, in a certain sense that every day you, every day suddenly your house on the table there is manna? I mean, I do not know whether you appreciate it, but for those who have already started work, and especially for those who are providing for their families, they may probably wish for that to happen. They say, "Wow, this will be less stress straight away was on the tables." But the reality of life is, the Lord, in His wisdom, want us to work. And then, human masters, right? The Lord will provide us with our pay pocket. Yes, the Lord is the divine pay masters, but He does so, right? Paying us through what? Right? Paying us through by human means. So we are people that live off the land. So we find it hard to appreciate this transition. But for the children of Israel, if 40 years the food just appeared on the table, now suddenly you have to gather your food. You have to work for it. Oh, this is a big change. But actually, this is a change that, by right, they can handle. Because for 40 years, the Lord has already taught them this lesson. That all your food, all your water comes from me, that is from God. And so now, as they go about collecting the fruit from the land, they must also remember that the fruit of the land actually cometh from God. And because it cometh from God, all they needed to do was trust in the Lord for that provision. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That is the lesson. And they should be ready for it. The fact that the Lord transited them to the next phase of life means, by right, they should be ready for it. And it seems like at least for their generation, they were ready for it. But later generations, that may be another problem altogether. But it's a different phase of life. Now, they will really have to work for their food. Now, times of transition will also come to us. Now, you are FCMers, you are studying, but very soon you are going to transit to the working world. That is the next test. And the reality of life is that so many young people, when they go to work, when put to the test of transition, they fall. When the Lord proved their heart, it was shown that during the time of their youth, the lessons that they ought to have learned from God's word, ought to have learned from their training ground in polytechnic and university, did not set in their heart. And they capitulated. There are just too many. I really thank the Lord for FCM, and as I've mentioned this morning, I'm so thankful for the many friends that I made in FCM. Some of these friends I made in FCM are still around in churches, and they are doing very well. I do not want to tell you who they are. We know who we are. Well, at least you know my wife's from FCM. And just now I mentioned Xiao Wei and Hui Ling. Okay, I think that's enough. The rest, no need for you to find out. But some of them, they are doing very well. They have come to be leaders in church, or they have a very significant impact on the lives of Christians for good. And I'm very thankful for them. But the reality also is this: for every one of them, there are far more that have failed the Lord. And FCMers, you are now in that crossroads. Very soon, the next stage of adulthood will begin. Some of you later on will get married. That will be another transition. For many years, life as a single man and woman, and of course, during courting days, you gladly wish that you were married. After that, you get married, then you will know the reality of married life. Of course, by the way, the reality of married life is very sweet, okay, but it is a transition. Okay, I don't want to give the wrong impression that married life is horrible. Of course not, it's horrible. Those who love the Lord and trust in the Lord, remembering all these lessons right here, their married lives are happy lives. And it will be sweeter as the years go by. Some of the things that married men and women, I pray they will not say. No, like I've already said already one example this morning, right? Never ever say that the man is the head of the house, the husband is the head of the house, and the wife is the neck that turns the head. That is a very, very bad expression. Right? I hope it will be gotten rid of forever. Second thing that we must have in our hearts is, please do not think that sweeter as the years go by is not a reality. Cannot be a reality. It can be a reality. I've seen couples who really are sweeter as the years go by. But many will go and say, you know, hey, this couple, right now they are so happy because they are in the honeymoon phase. Yeah, go for honeymoon, so lovey-dovey. I'll wait a few years, then they will be like us. Oh dear, when I hear that, sometimes my heart sinks. What do you mean we'll be like you? Of course, sometimes what they mean is that they will know the realities of issues of marriage life, and maybe their love will become a more mature one. I hope that's what they mean. But I do think that majority of the time, they mean that their love has gone colder than last time. I've seen so many in my generation whose marriages are on the rocks, and some of them are FCMers. The test of transition, they failed. And that is why each step of the way, remember what the Lord has said of what it means to be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of good courage starts from what? You meditate on God's word day and night. Do not let the word of God to depart out of your mouth, which basically means do not let it depart out of your heart and mind. And then you obey all that is written therein. Do not turn to the left or to the right. So long as you stick to this, even when circumstances may change, the Lord will help you to pass the test, because, do not forget verse 1, victory is already in Him. He has already provided the means for you to be successful. It is us who has failed to claim that means of success. So, dear friends, are you ready for the test that will come your way? Some of you say, not ready. Well, in a way, that is good, because the only way you can be ready is what? You must always rely on the Lord. Only the Lord can make you ready, can prepare you, and can grant you the grace to be a success. You must therefore say, yes, on my own strength, I cannot be strong and of a good courage, because I'm weak. But in the Lord, He will grant me that spiritual strength. In the Lord, He will grant me a good courage. And though tests may come my way, I will thank the Lord that these are chances for proving what He can do. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, We thank Thee, O Lord, for this precious time where the SCMers can gather and even to consider the teachings of Thy Word. And indeed, how wonderful it is that though, O Lord, in Thy wisdom You have subjected us to various tests so that we may know the state of our hearts, yet, O Lord, You have also provided the means for us to be successful in this test. And that through this test also, You will teach us precious lessons about ourselves and most importantly, precious lessons about Thee. O Lord, how wonderful Thou art, how loving Thou art, and how mighty Thou art. And we can only bow ourselves before Thee and adore Thee, O Lord, in all humility and say, O Lord God Almighty, how great Thou art. And so we pray, Father, that as Thy children ponder upon this truth, that it would not only fill their hearts with comfort, but they may be strengthened in their hearts, O Lord, to do Thy will. That though, O Lord, this world may seek to tear us away from Christ Jesus, yet, O Lord, they will be courageous in this fight, and that You will help them to stand firm, even in the midst of the tides of rebellion and apostasy. So we commit, Lord, all these things into Thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.